This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
How are you?
Awesome. I'm well. My lower body is a little bit achy because I've been wrapping presents for about the past hour and just sprawled out on the floor. You know how that goes with everything in front of me, and I got carried away. And as a consequence of that, Andy, I did not have a chance to watch the Hawkeye finale just yet. But I'm going to after we after we do this. But I figure we won't be getting into Hawkeye.
No, not at all. I mean, considering this is 9 years before. So, I mean, it does. There are some things that are referenced, but you know, we won't get into it. We weren't going to get into it anyway. I think you know, people, are here to watch the Avengers. We can mention it a little bit, maybe like see if we can point out where Kate Bishop's apartment is and stuff like that during the Battle of New York. Really.
If nothing else, we'll probably spot a familiar scene from a different perspective.
Okay. So what do you say?
Hello to the chat. Also, yeah. We've got a few folks who have joined us. I see Paul and Travel Girl.
Travel Girl,
anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to say hi and throw some questions our way.
Yeah. Tim is the comics guy, so I am here purely to set him up to give you guys the knowledge. Travel Girl was here with me during my first solo outing the other night when I did Mickey's Christmas Carol. So I'm glad she came back. I completely suck. So, all right. Why do you say we? Thank you. Why do you say we get the movie started and we'll talk? Because we got it. This is about 2.5 hours. This movie. Yeah, 2:25 is my counter.
So. It's a lengthy one. Yep.
So let's. Doing a solo at 26 minutes actually wasn't that bad. So. All right, we got the old Marvel thing coming here.
Yeah. I miss that old scroll. They did such a great job with that.
And some, blue here. Little foreshadowing here. We got Paramount.
Yeah. Back in the days when they were still distributed by Paramount. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, I think, on our last couple outings.
Mm-hmm.
My, how things have changed.
Yeah. There's a Tesseract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as a non-comics guy, I had no idea what was going on here.
Right.
When I first saw this.
Well, I suspect you recognized at least the Tesseract.
I did.
Captain America.
I did. I don't know if I recognized the scepter. Did Loki have the scepter earlier?
He had a scepter in Thor. I don't know that it was this scepter. At least it was missing a pretty important artifact.
Yeah.
In Thor.
I had no idea who the Chitauri were either. I didn't even know what they were saying. It took me like a couple of viewings to understand what they were saying, the word Chitauri.
Yeah. I have to say I'm grateful for the captions being on here.
Oh, okay.
And okay, so is this one of the movies that Disney Plus like up converted or whatever to
4K?
What's the new the IMAX presentation style, which they've done with Shang-Chi and a few of their other MCU films.
Sure.
I can't remember. I think this was on the list. I'm just thinking it looks very pristine right now. I don't know.
So was this the debut of Maria Hill as well, right?
With
Colby Smulders.
Yeah, I think so. I don't recall her being in. I guess maybe she would have been in Thor, but I don't think so.
No. I remember the memes going around. Kids, back in the summer of 2012, your Aunt Robin joined the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I love how she like shares the screen with all these huge stars and she just like owns it.
Yeah.
So, like more so on Ultron. She's got some really good lines with them, but
really holds her own. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember the Chitauri were a concept, an alien race from the Ultimate line of comics, and they went back to like 2001, 2002, and the Ultimates series, which was the that imprint's universe, that imprint's version of the Avengers. And so the Chitauri were kind of their version of the Skrulls in that world. Okay. So there was a lot of speculation that before any of these films were even made, had gone into production, before Marvel Studios was even a thing, that they would be borrowing heavily from the Ultimates imprint, because it was more, a little bit more grounded, a little, certainly more modern than the stuff from the 60s. You know, the costumes, the uniforms were a bit more utilitarian than they were colorful. So it was like, just felt like they were setting these up to serve as the source material for films. Mm-hmm. That didn't exactly pan out, but you do see concepts here and there that I think started. I mean, even this depiction of Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson, that's how he mm-hmm. debuted in the Ultimate line. The character design was very patterned after the actor. So it's here and there you see those influences, which it's very funny to me now, because the Ultimate line is just not a thing anymore. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's not been a going concern for Marvel since, gosh, maybe 2015.
Okay.
So
we get off to a hot start.
Bits and pieces here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the,
we have Dr. Selvig
opening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dr. Selvig returning. So he's referred to as Barton and the Hawk. So not Hawkeye just yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know you said you haven't watched it, but I really enjoyed the finale, just saying that, as long as I say.
I am going to watch it tonight.
It was very good.
Yeah, I've actually wrapped up a lot of the work stuff that was keeping me from watching that in a more timely fashion.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the return of Loki here? Did you expect Loki to be have a bigger role after Thor?
I don't know that I did, actually. Yeah. You know, I wasn't sure who the main villain mm-hmm. for this film was going to be. Yeah. I thought here again, maybe they'd take a page out of the Ultimates series, and it would be like the Hulk going on a rampage, and mm-hmm. they have to all team up to stop the Hulk. And
they kind of do that later.
They kind of do that anyway. Yeah, they get there. But I sort of thought that would be what brings the team together, and you know, plot wise, that's pretty weak. But I thought maybe they would play it safe, you know, out of the gate with their first team-based movie, but they really go for it here with Loki and Asgard and mm-hmm. alien invasions, like flying fortresses.
Yeah, we get Barton compromised right off
the bat. Yes, Barton has been compromised.
Mm-hmm. Nick wisely grabs the Tesseract and puts it in. It's Loki's like getting basically building his own army here, kind of thing, like getting some zombies, I guess, so to speak.
Yep. Some grunts.
Loki's seen better days, too. He looks like he's been off on a bender.
A little haggard here, yes.
Yeah.
I do think this performance by Tom Hiddleston is incredible, even mm-hmm. eclipsing his work in Thor.
Yeah. So glad he didn't get the part of Thor when he auditioned.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a funny that's a funny audition reel if folks haven't seen it. So what we don't know here at the time, and what we won't know for many movies down the line, is that Loki possesses the Mind Stone as mm-hmm. well, it's, you know, and his scepter. And I mean, Infinity Stones aren't even a thing yet here in the burgeoning MCU.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Mm. Director Fury seems to have 9 lives, though.
Right.
Well, I mean, you gotta arm yourself. You get a top assassin, you get a scientist, and you get a red shirt, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we saw at the end of Thor, was it, that mid-credit scene where Selvig seemed to be compromised.
I don't know if he was. Yeah, he might have been compromised, actually, yeah. I think he was maybe. He
it
might
was a little unclear because it didn't exactly follow what happens in this opening scene. But, you know, maybe it's just a little bit further on in the film.
Maybe he wasn't actually under control, but he was like, kind of, I think Loki may have been like in his subconscious, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was getting to him somehow. He was being influenced.
Yeah. Got a nice chase here in the tunnel.
Yeah. This is great.
Basically about to take down an entire SHIELD, building.
Yeah, we're starting off hot with this action set piece.
Yeah. You know, Maria Hill doesn't take, you know, she can shoot. She can, you know, she's smart. She can drive, you know.
I like that SHIELD is presented in this way. Like, they aren't. You know, they're not super powered, of course, but they're not dopes either. They're just way outclassed by Loki, who is...
They're not inept.
Yeah, I mean, he's a demigod.
Yeah, and he's got some, you know, cosmic power here. You know, they just managed to make it away, or at least our main players. We got Phil Coulson's back. So, as a comics fan, Tim, I'm sure you probably have been asked this question before. When did you start? When did you get into comics? Was it like really early? Was it a teenager? When did you start reading comics?
When I was a little kid. I don't even remember a time when I wasn't into comics, if that sort of helps answer the question.
Well, here's the second part of my question, though. Did you ever think that, A, we were going to get superhero movies, let alone this team-up movie, and that it was going to be this good? Like, was that even in the back of your mind?
Probably not in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, they had been figuring it out. We'd gotten much better superhero films. And, in fact, some very good superhero films, really in that run-up to the first Iron Man. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think they would be able to pull off a level of coordination that would allow for a film like this.
Yeah.
Where it is truly a team up. They have laid the groundwork, and it was what I pictured in my head as a little kid, thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great to see some of these stories that I've loved reading so much adapted for the big screen.
Yeah.
And the best thing I had at the time growing up were those made-for-TV Hulk movies with, you know, where they had Thor in one of them, and then they had Daredevil, and that was in Trial of the Incredible Hulk. I mean, they were technically before my time, but I remember they would air in reruns, so I would see them and just think that was mind-blowing for what it was back then. And this is just such a evolution of that concept and that is why this is sentimentally, I think my favorite of the Marvel films. Mm-hmm. It just always will be, because I never thought I'd see it. I never thought they'd get it right. And even if they did, to produce a film this good, it just seemed, again, beyond my lifetime.
Yeah. So I love this scene. This is one of my favorites. Yeah. Natasha, not in the entire MCU all time. She is so great here. Phil Coulson is great on the phone. I mean, just the facial expressions right. and the.
And she feels very different from her character in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Not that I.
It's her first time. Yeah. You haven't seen her since then. Yeah.
Not that I hate that depiction, but mm-hmm. they certainly move her past it here.
Mm-hmm. I love how confident and cocky these guys are thinking that they have, you know, they have her and she's actually the other way around.
This, of course, written and directed by Joss Whedon. This scene, more than most, I think you feel that comes through.
Yeah, all the little, a lot of the Tony Stark dialogue comes out. It is very Joss Whedon, I think, also in this movie. Like, you could see Buffy doing this, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. I do think some of it feels... I don't give everything. I do think some of it feels a little bit dated. Yeah. You know, you didn't notice some of those tics that he has at the time. Mm-hmm. But seeing the efforts of other screenwriters within this cinematic universe, you notice it more. Going back to watch this is a great acting mm-hmm. scene.
And he's just so like, like he's listening to Muzak, basically.
Yeah.
Just so good.
You get the impression he's been through this with her mm-hmm. a time or two already, maybe.
And you notice that.
She can handle herself.
And the moment that she's told that Barton's been compromised, that's like kind of like a switch gets flipped.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and it's still playing out 9 years later. I know I wasn't going to talk about Hawkeye, but still.
Right, and there they are. Mm-hmm. The big guy. That's a very Joss Whedon thing, just to say the obvious without saying the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a lot of those,
and I do find it a little annoying,
like the little terms like Shakespeare in the Park and Legolas. Those are all things like Joss Whedon would say.
Yeah.
I think he does a really great job with this movie and Ultron, but he did lighten up Justice League, but I think Justice League just was put in the wrong person's hands to begin with.
Yeah, that's a longer post-mortem than we have time for, I think.
I don't know. If you have a couple of days to kill, we could do the Snyder Cut one time.
right.
Yeah.
Hey, HBO Max on Stream Lounge now. We sure could.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Got to get Sean for Shazam.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
So what do you think of the recasting? We get Ruffalo now instead of, you know, we had Eric Bana in an unrelated, you know, Hulk movie, mm-hmm. but we also had Edward Norton. But now we have Mark Ruffalo, kind of like an everyman actor, so to speak.
Yeah, I liked him right away. I liked his banner immediately mm-hmm. from the moment he stepped on screen. I was kind of in favor of recasting the character just because, I don't know, something about Edward Norton's Hulk, not that that's a great movie on its own in the first place, but I didn't really love his portrayal of the character. And I just felt like, you know, Edward Norton's a pretty big name. Robert Downey Jr.'s a pretty big name, especially after Iron Man and, you know, making the comeback that he did. I just thought the two of them would have dominated this movie. It just would have turned into their movie with guys like Chris Evans and Hemsworth and ScarJo just sort of relegated to B-list players. I just had a sense mm-hmm. that was threatening to happen with like two big stars, two big egos, and then these other less established performer. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of glad that they got him out of here. No disrespect to Edward Norton. I mean, I like him as an actor, but I did not like his Banner. Ruffalo
probably would have made a better villain.
Yeah, yeah, I could see him as a villain. I think that could work very well for him. Mm-hmm. But it's just the way that Ruffalo plays it, so much more understated, but very cerebral at the same time. It really just clicks right away.
Yeah, he's got a little Bill Bixby in him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very understated and very, you know, unassuming, basically.
As yeah.
Doesn't look like much. That's kind of term that's been.
I mean, he even kind of looks like Bill Bixby. Just
yeah, a little bit.
They have similar features.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm.
But he's firmly in control still.
Yeah. They do a really great job, though, of not, I don't know, blowing the load, so to speak. Like, not, like, you know what I mean? Like, not, they show a lot of restraint because we don't see the Hulk for a while. He's referenced, and we get teases that, you know, let's not, you know, all right, let's calm down, people, kind of thing. But when we get them, we get them. And it's really a testament. I'm actually going to keep an eye on the timer and see at what time in the movie we do get the Hulk.
Okay. All right. And here's the World Council, right? Mm-hmm. These very enigmatic, mysterious figures.
get kind of the, what was it? The quantum, what's the, in Superman, where the villains were on trial for too.
The Phantom Zone.
The Phantom Zone. Yeah, kind of like the hands in the Phantom Zone. Guilty. Guilty.
Guilty. Giant triangle comes flying at the screen.
I love
those movies. I used to watch that first Superman over and over. Mm. So yeah, these guys kind of like an Illuminati sort of thing that they're doing, I guess. Mm-hmm. We'll get more on them in the Captain America sequel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sort of. Nice shot of America's ass.
Yeah. A nice glimpse here. Steve, kind of where we left him, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of working out his frustrations here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cool cool reintroduction to him.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's gotta work out them frustrations, man.
Mm-hmm. Man out of time and without a mission. He's feeling antsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Making Captain America a character who, as a big part of his backstory is he's time displaced, right? I think that's such a stroke of brilliance. It really allows you to preserve a lot of the idealism that the character is supposed to represent in ways that you couldn't just create if he was a modern invention, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not burned by modern times, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not cynical. He's got the hope of people from his time did. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got Tony working on something underwater here.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Some hydro armor.
Well, you know, we don't have Namor to do it for him, so.
No. Haven't met him yet.
No, we still haven't met him yet, actually.
Holding out hope, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to see him before long.
Right.
Wow.
And this is in 2012. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see that spot a little later.
Yeah. I love this debut of Stark Tower.
Yeah.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I love all the Marvel landmarks that they drop mm-hmm. into the actual city. Like it's still a very, it's supposed to feel like the real world, but you're still going to have some made up buildings that are mm-hmm. All too Marvel.
Yeah. And we get, if you play the Spider-Man game, you can go to start the Avengers Tower, actually, and climb it. Okay. You can also visit the Sanctum Sanctorum. You can't go inside, though.
Ah, that's a shame. What about, like, the Baxter Building or Four Freedoms Plaza?
Those aren't in there yet. And that's in the first Spider-Man. Maybe in the next one. I'm still playing Miles Morales right now.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we get the different relationship here with Tony and Pepper. You know, they work together, but they're definitely a couple now.
Yes. And they still have their signature banter, which, you know, Joss Whedon was chomping at the bit to get his hands on these two.
Yeah, you can put whatever name you want. Just if my name's on the the owner documents, then I'm better.
Mm-hmm. Life model decoy.
Phil? What do you mean, Phil?
Yes, they are now on a first name basis. You love to see it.
She definitely wears the Iron Man suit in the family there.
I love how annoyed Tony is in this scene to be called upon to do some superheroing, basically, in his off time.
You know, when he says Miss Potts, she's in trouble. Mm-hmm. I love the whole
Stark tech.
Yeah, everything, how he does it just goes in the air, and then, you know, and we get it. We still have it in some movies. We had it in Spider-Man Far From Home. You know, hope we still get it going forward.
Maybe in Armor Wars, the
Disney
Plus. Well,
possibly.
Iron Man.
Iron Heart as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are two separate series, aren't they? They're doing...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Iron Heart, the Riri Williams character, and Armor Wars. I Which is, presume they'll
is
be connected.
His War Machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Home base. Hmm.
So we got a good 20 minutes into the movie before even seeing Robert Downey Jr., which speaks to the discipline that you mentioned earlier, like the restraint that they have and not just throwing everything out there and having the biggest stars run wild, basically. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a purpose for being here on this team, and they're going to put them together in the most organic and logical way, not in order of star power.
Yeah. Yeah. We got Coulson totally fanboying out here on Steve here. Coulson is cool as a cucumber normally, but here you can definitely tell he's like nervous because he's meeting his idol.
Oh, yeah. Mm hmm. Cap is being very patient with them. even Steve is thinking, you're not going to make me wear that thing again, are you?
We can use a little fashion here. It's a little sub base here that Loki's building his army with.
Mm.
Now, I wonder if they're all mind controlled or they just want to take over the world.
Right, right.
Oh,
there's maybe some Hydra guys in there. Yeah. You know?
And here's where we kind of find out Loki is a.
Oh, yeah. This is cool.
Hmm.
A very Joss Whedon written scene also, just the melodrama, the way that they talk. So operatic.
Yes.
And I mean, this guy, this Viceroy, I guess you could call him, is not someone that even comics fans would recognize, just somebody that they dropped into the movie for Loki to interact with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's Guardian.
I don't know. Is that supposed to be an insult or is that just a...
Yeah, it's a very comic booky thing.
Okay. Because he's not really an Asgardian, right? He's an ice giant.
I guess he's Asgardian by proxy.
I guess. Oh, then we see the...
The Leviathan in the background.
Yeah.
And that closing note that he leaves him with is so chilling. I really love that scene.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like now, I was watching very goofy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get there to me.
I think I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Was that on yet? I can't remember.
No, that would not start until 2013, I think.
Okay.
And this is 2012.
I mean, the only time it ever kind of interacted with the MCU was with... Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Felt like they kind of spun their wheels that first season.
Yeah.
Because the Winter Soldier was about to blow up their whole setup.
Yeah.
I didn't really stick first, with it, though.
Yeah, I gave up. I think I went to, like, the last season or so.
Yeah, these three all meeting for the first time is... Good stuff.
Huh.
This was also a big,
yeah, this was,
that popped me as, again, just comics geek that I was. Yeah. I didn't know that they would actually do it. I didn't know that they would go all the way with this, helicarrier. I call it the helicarrier.
Yeah, it is.
They call it the Triskelion or whatever.
Oh. Yeah, I popped big time when I saw this in the movie theater. I was like, what the?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought the G.I. Joe, you know, aircraft carrier toy was cool. I could imagine this one as a kid. That is cool.
Just to see Banner's got thing. Kind of the, yeah, it just rising out of the water like this. I feel like Banner's got the best lines of the low-key, yeah. Just not low-key, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Impressive bridge. This is a main thing. I'm one of the, you know, and you guys know I'm a mark for the Lego video games, and
I love
the Avengers, and they, you get to play on the helicarrier and you get to jump off it to go down to Manhattan. It's really cool. Even Steve's impressed here. I get the Shields logo. Banner's like nervous.
Wonder if the guy's playing Galaga yet.
Not yet. And I think that was an improv line. From what I understand. I mean, there's the cloaking here with the mirrors. Just,
oh, yeah.
That's very cool.
It's so awesome.
Yes.
I mean, when I think of S.H.I.E.L.D., this is what I think of. The Flying Fortress. We lost the bet.
You know, you can definitely tell Nat's worried about Barton.
The purple color scheme here. Not pants, but a purple shirt.
Iridium. Well, that's a better name than unobtainium.
Yeah. God, I can't believe they actually used that as the name in that movie. Oh, boy.
I haven't watched that in a while. I'm going to have to watch it again for the sequels.
I've only ever seen it the one time. I don't know that
the reason why I'm revisiting that universe is that that world at Disney is so damn impressive, and the greatest ride in all of all time is Flights of Passage, in my opinion. So I'm like, okay, I'll give you my money for those sequels, because you just dazzled me with this ride here. he's still geeking out about the cards. It's a very, actually kind of important, if you think it's a throwaway thing, but it comes at a nice plot point. And we got this guy
it
here.
It does, yeah. They really pay it off.
Nicely. I forget his name, but he comes a big player.
Sitwell.
Sitwell, yeah.
I forgot he was in this. Boy, so they're, I mean, some of these guys are Hydra traders, basically.
Yeah, which we didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
Good time to attend a show.
Yes. It's a very globe-trotting type movie, which I always like a lot.
Yeah,
these Marvel films.
I'm a mark for globe-trotting movies. You know, when the Bourne movies do it, Indiana Jones. Yep. Just give me different, even in the Fast and Furious, just give me different locations every time.
Just makes the world feel so much bigger.
Yeah, it does. Oh, get the Archer. It's kind of a gnarly scene here, what they do.
Yeah, I'm just remembering the way that they get past this.
The optic nerve, this door. Optic sensor mm-hmm. there. Mm. Extremely brazen. He's like, well, he's a god, so.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oof.
Mm.
He's just... He seems to be enjoying himself
a little bit. He's feeling himself, yeah.
And they're in. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Jeremy Renner at the time? Because I'm trying to remember what he had done by now. I know he had done...
2012.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Let me look up his filmography here.
Love this transformation.
Yes. Okay, let's see. Let's go back to... Okay, so Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol came out the year before. You had The Town. You had The Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker. That's what I'm thinking of.
28 Weeks Later. You know, I liked him in that SWAT movie where he played one of the bad guys.
Okay. I mean, I liked the cast. I liked him. I liked the casting at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't really like where they take the character. I would say the series, again, not to get into Hawkeye, but that's been a little bit rehabilitating for mm-hmm. for actor and character, but
yeah,
never been my favorite.
Now, this is an incredible...
now, yes. Great this, scene coming up. In contrast, this performance is delightful.
Yes. Basically shitting on Earthlings.
He really is.
Got that right.
Just could blow him away.
Yeah. He won't think twice about it.
Mm-hmm. Not my favorite look for Cap. And this, it's definitely the lesser of his various uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Across all of his appearances. I mean, I get why they did it, but man, that helmet is just not working.
Yeah. Nah. You wouldn't think Loki's this tough, but he is.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a god. Cap is merely an enhanced human.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive to see Cap hold his own against somebody with that kind of power.
Yeah. Tony pulling the Han Solo at the trench run here.
Love it.
It's one blast. Yeah, weed in line right there.
Reindeer games, yes.
He's like, no, I'm good. Mr. Stark? Captain. I've seen this a few times.
Yeah. Big applause
in the theater.
Also, there. Having a daughter who's a huge Mark is watching these all the time, so they're on in the background.
Well, you say I'm the expert. I'd say that you shouldn't sell yourself short at this point. You've seen all of these in the theater, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, mm-hmm, I have.
You haven't missed one.
Yeah. It's probably for an older fella.
It's probably for an older fella. Mm-hmm.
A capsicle.
So, what this, got you into? Here. Oh yeah, overly fond yeah. of what follows. Yeah,
what got me in? I'm just.
I mean, you saw the first. Did you just see that first Iron Man and liked it so much that you're like, oh
yeah,
I'm going to keep an eye on these Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. I give. I'm one of those. I give a lot of movies the benefit of the doubt. Especially like the big ones like these.
And
so,
I got in
already as soon as, you know, and I had some friends who knew the comics at work and stuff. And I was like, they were kind of trying to educate me a little bit at the time.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just such a fan of big summer event movies. That's why, you know, that's why this podcast or this profile here on Stream Lounge is Blockbuster, because I just love going to the movies, eating popcorn and having all this, like these giant movies.
The spectacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love me some art house once in a while, but give me a Blockbuster any day.
Okay.
And these, this, I'm just also being like amateur screenwriter. Just, I'm just a fan of the continuity and how these guys are doing. It's like the dream would be to be in a writer's room of something like this. Others have tried. Nobody's ever come close to even executing it. They tried one with like, I don't know if it's called like the Hasbro verse or whatever. It was supposed to be G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, and one other property. And they were supposed to be all, and they wanted to do like an MCU, but I don't know if it ever got off the ground.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they can. The G.I. Joe and Transformers have crossed over it in the comics, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, some of the few comics I have are G.I. Joe versus Transformers. This is a nice scene here too between the two of them.
A lot of those, well, probably the newer ones. The newer ones wouldn't be published by Marvel, but
yeah.
Marvel had license to both of those in the '80s, and those were a lot of people's first comics: G.I. Joe and Transformers. Just
I gotta find those. They're not. They're probably worse for wear, but still,
yeah. They probably wouldn't set you back too much, though. They'd be pretty cheap. Loki and Thor catching up here. I love this scene also. Throne would suit you ill.
I
think Whedon kind of writes the Asgardians better than they were in their own film.
Yes, they were.
Not that I have any major issues with that first Thor. I thought it was fine.
Listen well, brother. I'm listening. Hello.
Okay, so a bit of fan service here. We got to get a Iron Man versus Thor fight, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's on our checklist.
And we get a three-way, too.
Yeah, you can maybe call it a studio note, yeah. But you know what? They get away with it. There it is.
Metal Man. On the same side, but different approaches here.
Mm-hmm.
Ow. Now you done got it. Loki's like, I just wish I had some popcorn here.
Yeah.
Oof. Take that.
Yeah, Loki with the front row seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. How about that? Wow, that's quite. He wishes he could, you know, Tony's like working on his mind how to replicate that.
That's like now we've got ourselves a fight.
Yeah.
Iron Man can conceivably go toe to toe with an Asgardian after that little power up.
Oof. You would think Tony Stark's very good at hand to hand, but
I think he allows his
suit
to do a lot of the fighting for him.
Oof.
Thor, of course, thousands of years old, pretty experienced in the fighting department.
Cap, always the peacekeeper.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
It shows the real power of vibranium here.
Yes.
You know, it withstands a bow from Mjolnir. Oof. Oh, kind of like, oh shit. Yeah, maybe we should
if we're done here.
Yeah.
The holy trinity
of
the Avengers here.
And I love how we get this book ended in Endgame.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, Tony does have a point, though. Loki did come a little more quietly than he thought, because he could have gotten away, too, during that whole fight. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that wants to be around. Captured.
Mm-hmm. It's all too easy.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, Mark is here. Welcome.
Mark on the southern part of their state. Probably the same difference between you and me, Tim, is San Diego to the Bay Area.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. If it's coming from San Diego, about as far south as you want to get in California before you're in Mexico.
Yeah. Ant. Boot.
Yeah, one thing. So the gears are already turning for her.
Yeah, and for Loki. And Steve was watching video of the Hulk, but we didn't really get a good shot of it.
No.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time we get all of them in the same room here. The original lineup, sans Hawkeye, of course. But. It's just something about Tom Hiddleston, man. That smile of his.
I know. Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing. And the character is so different today.
Yeah.
He's come very far. Even though, I mean, that Loki series picks up right from this
yeah.
first Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. But they still put in the work to...
Can you believe Samuel Jackson is 64? Around 64 in this story? Because he just turned 72.
So really?
73, I think. I'm sorry. So...
Wow.
Yeah. He found success a little later in his life. Not as late as Morgan Freeman, but...
Yeah, yeah. I guess people don't think about that. Thor's hair in this movie is still a little bit off.
Well, he doesn't have the eyebrows, though.
Right, right.
I love this. He's adopted.
Here comes... Very quick about face yeah. there by the Odins.
Yeah. Love, great entrance here. Point Break.
There it is.
Yeah. I believe that's an improv line. That, and so Joss Whedon loved it so much that he added the shot of the guy playing Galaga. How does Fury see? He turns.
Wow.
What did Tony just place? What did I read? Found his kindred spirit here.
Yes. Calf is just like, what the hell?
What is that? Don't turn to the Lord. Well, what do you think if we're never going to get this now? Because
it just pops me still.
Because obviously Tony is no longer with us in the MCU. But
right.
if we got a scene with the two of them and Reed Richards, that's just explode your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you definitely lose that the eye roll.
Yes, famous meme. It's like, I know God. That. I know what that is.
Can you imagine, like, if these actors just and these characters had no chemistry and it just God. They tried to do this and it just missed, just whiffed on one line after another? How terrible that would be, but. Wow, they really scored with this casting and this.
Even sometimes when you shake your head, you're like, huh? And it always works out, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Bro, Carl.
He's trying to poke him. What things are? He's just so serious.
Somebody's got to be the team dad.
Yeah. Blueberry? I'm just here to do some science, man. Yeah. I like blueberries.
Is that that, what you call it, the Kashi stuff? The
Yeah, you get that sometimes. Food?
Healthy snack unless you eat six bags at once.
Yeah, blueberry is superfood.
Is shawarma superfood? Because we're gonna get some shawarma later.
I don't think so, but I want to try it. Actually, I did have shawarma. When did I have shawarma? I had chicken shawarma. Wasn't bad.
Oh.
I remember the first time I passed a place that had shawarma, I took a picture of it. I think I showed it to my daughter. I'm like, look, we can get shawarma.
Spangly outfit. Seems like that natural antagonism. They're not getting off on the right foot.
Yeah.
Well, but Cap is not a total square. He's gonna follow up on this.
Do you think it's like a man of faith versus a man of science? Kind of like what they did on Lost a little bit, but not in a much better way.
A little bit. They are from two very different worlds. Plus Tony's daddy issues and Steve having known the elder Stark. It's that can't help the relationship, you know. These two are so great, though.
Yeah.
Well, until the second film when they create a genocidal robot that almost destroys the entire planet.
Yeah, it's just so... I mean, this is a once-in-a-lifetime... The way they just have cast and put these movies together. It's just so amazing. And, you know, I've watched this so many times.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you still get drawn in.
Yeah.
Like, I forget that you and I, like, for a moment, like, I forget, like, you and I, I'm like, I feel like I'm like,
I know. We're supposed to be doing a commentary, right?
Fanboying.
I'm just wanting to watch the movie.
Yeah. Steve doing a little detective work here. Yeah. It's like, I can't just be here, like, you know, to be the square.
Yeah, well, it goes to show that Tony got through to him to some extent.
Yeah.
He's at least going to look into it.
I always like Stellan Skarsgård. He plays a good guy in this, but usually he plays like a dick in a lot of his movies.
Mm. Right.
Well, though, he did play... Bootstraps and Bootstraps Bill on the Pirates movie.
Yeah. I need to revisit that series. You and Miranda kind of got me jonesing for it again.
I do love it. I do. That first movie, oh God, it's just unreal. There are things I like in the other movies. It did have a, you know, went down, but it kind of was on the way up when after the last movie had come out. I mean, I would love for them to revitalize it. There was talk of them doing it with Karen Gillan.
Oh.
Because she would play Red, the redhead from The Ride. It's kind of a character within The Ride, so. But I'd be down for that, like a female Pirates.
Yeah. Seems like something they would do. I don't think Thor is as buff in this movie as he will be later.
It's kind of like The Rock, how The Rock wasn't until he was. Now he's just
a mountain. Talking about The Rock, I mean, he's the boulder.
Yeah. I just love it. Was it Fast Five where he's like, "Woman, I am the Calvary," and he
blows his
in a pump. Yes.
One of the all-time great scenes in film history. Yeah.
I love those movies. Just
flexing your cast off. Yeah.
Laws of physics be damned. I love those movies. Right.
I admittedly have not seen all of them, but I have seen that, and it's glorious. Oh, yeah, this. I like how a lot of the criticisms that people direct at Hawkeye is just being the guy with the bow and arrow on the Avengers. What can he really do? You never hear that about her.
Like, yeah.
She's just as human as he is, but she proves her worth in multiple ways over and over throughout this film.
Yeah. She just has a way of getting through to people. Or getting information from people. And we see that in the early interrogation scene. Another classic line.
Yeah.
She shows vulnerability, and that opens people up, I think.
Even Loki.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this, okay. The Radnor Ledger thing will...
follow her.
I think that gets a little bit obnoxious the more they keep hammering it, because again it sounds like a Whedonism for lack of a better expression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dracov's daughter, we get that line too, that I think is a throwaway, but actually, you know, means something.
Uh-huh.
They figured out Tony's hacking the system.
Well, Fury looks like a disappointed dad.
Yes. Steve looks like the dad that found the kid's pot. You and Clem.
That line has always stuck with me.
He's like...
It's got to be tough to be a good actor who has to play a good actor.
Yeah.
Which is what what's required of her in that scene.
Yeah. She really just
he nails him.
Mm-hmm.
So that does go back to, again, what I was thinking the plot of this film would be. It's going to be the Avengers versus the Hulk, ultimately, but
yeah.
That's not as big a part of this. I thought that was going to be the centerpiece of the movie before I, and this, I mean, this is before I'd seen the first
you know, Iron Man in a hypothetical world where an Avengers film existed, that that's what they would do.
What? Hmm. What'd I do?
Me?
That's America's ass right there.
Yeah, once again. Now, I guess, knowing what we know today, Fury had quite a bit of time to build up this armory because he knew we were not alone as early as 1995,
right? Yeah.
With all the Captain Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Throw the barbs going here.
They're all getting so bitchy. Yeah.
We all are. Mm-hmm. Uh oh, something's happening.
Mm-hmm. The whole world is turned upside down.
Yeah.
So we are just about an hour and 10 minutes into the film here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Andy, film scholar, that you are and a fan of spectacle as you are,
mm-hmm.
that hour mark is where things start to kick in.
Yeah. You know, this is the point where we're like right in the middle of Act Two.
Uh-huh.
Love that. Put the suit on.
So we're setting up Tony's character arc really for this movie.
Yeah. That's just, they both make really great points.
They do.
But Tony really has them now. you can't battle wits against Tony Stark.
Nope.
Petty and tiny.
So Thor is acting drunk, basically.
Yeah, man. That's pretty amazing. Is that in the comics?
He's he's describing a deleted scene from the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, I think it was meant to occur at the beginning of the film.
Okay,
where he's in like Antarctica or whatever.
Yeah. How does he get that in his hand?
Uh oh. Why am I holding the scepter?
Yeah. Wait, Rogers really wants to put on that suit, huh?
Yeah, he does.
Wait, it's right here.
Trick arrow.
Yeah. I was restraining from saying that, Tim. I'm glad you went there.
Ha ha ha.
He's like, okay, I need to put the suit on.
Yeah. The hell of a fucking era. That's big back to punch. Yeah.
So when this came out, this is 2012. So my daughter was 10 and my son was 5. My son saw the commercial and wanted to see it so bad. And I took Jessica and her friend first to make sure. And then I ended up taking Dylan, like after it had been out a little bit, you know, where I figured if he got a little disruptive, I could always walk him out.
You could get away with it.
Yeah.
So I bring him
to this movie, right? And we sit down and he kicks the popcorn bucket over. And he's like, he got a little upset. I'm like, all right. He's five. Okay. So I'm like, stay right here. Daddy will be right back. And I literally booked to the concession stand. Yeah. I was like, my kid knocked it over. I just need a refill, blah, blah. I come back and I get in the theater and he's looking at me. He's like, he's pointing at the screen. I look up. It's the Prometheus trailer.
Oh, wow.
I grab him. I pick him up and I run out of the theater. I keep an eye on the, like, yo, is it over? I'm like, it's over. He's like, I had to like convince him to go back inside.
Oh, jeez.
So we go back in. We're watching the movie, and he was fine. This is the only time he got upset was here.
Okay, that's what do it. Yeah,
he doesn't understand why the Hulk would go after Black Widow because they're both good guys, and I kind of had to like explain to him to a 5-year-old that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at 1 hour and 14 minutes and 30 some seconds.
Right. Yeah. You said you wanted to track our first.
So that's literally halfway into the movie.
Yeah.
So that's
a tense scene.
It is. Roughly the equivalent of how long it takes the genie to show up in Aladdin.
Because
the genie doesn't show up till 40 minutes in.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. There's the big guy. Great CG. Really great.
Yeah. Looking a lot better than he did in 2008.
And to scale and everything, too.
Yeah. Kind of looks like Mark Ruffalo. Huh?
Yeah. It's music to his ears.
It's the sun coming up. This was the first really, truly, like, I think, mind-blowing scene of the movie for me. Mm-hmm. Just this long, extended destruction of the helicarrier and
everybody
having something to do, and all of it is incredibly gripping. There's like, there's no fat in this at all.
The just about the entire movie on the whole too. It's pretty, it'd be hard to cut it down. I think it runs in a longer time slot on television because of that.
Yeah, and I'm just incredibly invested in all of the little stories they're telling here with Natasha being pursued by this absolute monster.
Yeah, I definitely could see
where
5-year-old Dylan got a little scared here. The way it's shot, too.
Yep.
I think as scary as this is, the fight that comes with him and Thor kind of like brings it back down, like a little levity there. Cause there are some comedic moments in that fight.
Yeah.
Like right here, you know, because they can go toe to toe. It's the first time Thor's getting eyes on the big guy for the first time. Like, holy shit.
Such a massive mark out moment for me. Again, keep in mind my exposure to the Hulk and Thor in a film together was a shitty TV movie from the early 80s. So.
Oh.
didn't have an Iron Man growing up.
No.
And
there was the Cap Iron Man cartoon.
Was,
I think. I think well, I did watch that a little bit.
That and Fantastic Four
would run back. Yeah, I did watch those
early.
In the 70s.
Yeah, those. Oh, in the 70s. Yeah, well, they did them. I was thinking of the ones in the 90s they did. Which were not on the same level as like an X-Men or a Batman animated series. Yep, you had that 70s. So the 70s Fantastic Four is the one with Herbie the robot instead of Human Torch. Good God.
Oh, what a shot he takes.
Yeah.
He's like, now you pissed him off.
Yeah, this was another one of those scenes with the theater just going ape shit.
I love this. Hulk can't pick up the hammer.
So they are having this knockdown, drag out fight as this fortress is falling out of the sky.
Oh. Look at the mind controlled shield guys versus the regular shield guys.
Right. Fury and Maria Hill get to have some they get their licks in.
Yeah. Oof.
God.
Oh boy.
He just snatches him, yeah.
There's another markout moment here coming up.
Yeah. Seeing this, it just takes me back again to that first time in the theater seeing this going, I can't believe I'm watching this right now.
Oof. Oof. Huh? It's like, what are you doing? Oh, now you pissed him off. Damn, he just jumps on this guy. He just doesn't care what happens.
Get me the hell out of there.
He grabs him. Grabs the ejector seat. That's just amazing. Son, you've got a condition.
Well, that's one way to dispose of the Hulk.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's get him off the board for a minute. He's probably doing them more harm than good. Ooh, Steve with the kick save.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit of a drop. Get this man a shield.
Get this man a shield.
Pretty good shot for one eye.
I know, right? The USB trick arrow.
There you go. Uh-oh.
Well, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, shit. We're going down. Just imagine the billions of dollars this helicarrier would cost to make.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love this, too, with she's in shock, traumatized, but just gathers herself
and
gets back to work.
I got a little itch.
Tells you a lot about the character.
Yeah, about their relationship. Ooh.
Damn.
Hang on, Cap. How did Loki get the door open? Oh, because he had that guy. Yeah,
I guess it just opened automatically after.
No, I think the Hawkeye. that guy let him out. I think that was right there.
Oh, okay.
First time I noticed that.
I didn't notice that either. I just thought it was something that Hawkeye did with the ship's controls or whatever.
The first of many matches we get between these two.
Right.
Now, they're not pulling their punches now. Well, maybe she is, but he's not.
Right.
We're still friends, right? Depends on how hard you punch.
So already we've gotten three Avengers on Avengers fights. Yeah. We had Iron Man and Thor and Hulk. Now we're getting Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
That should all seem very fan servicey and forced, but
it's not.
They really, provide a good rationale for it, for all of it.
Even out of it. It's pretty cool. Oh!
Ooh.
Yeah, that was a gasp in the theater when this happened.
Uh-huh.
Because you think this guy's been the connective tissue here.
Yep.
Then, of course, we learn about Tahiti later. And now we're about to take Thor off the board for a minute. Mm. Do you think that would have held the Hulk if had they got him in there?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Better than nothing, but
yeah,
not long term.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh. Right in that noggin.
Savage.
Oh. Yeah, for good measure.
No chances. Yeah. No chances.
Yeah. You got to get him, restrained there. Yeah, probably Thor and Banner are probably the only ones that would survive this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Tony or Cap in there. They ain't surviving.
No, they're getting liquefied.
Oof. It just got out in time. Yeah, that's another theme that comes on, as we see later.
Yeah.
On.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Mm-hmm. not a bad last line.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess having never really gotten invested in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's effectively still dead to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody ever really stays dead, right, in comics?
Nah, exactly.
I think, though, in the MCU, you do.
In the MCU, contracts run out. So yeah. Death actually means something.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, shit.
Well, that'll you scramble got the lever eventually. Yeah,
I'll scramble your brain. Now, when you see Iron Man suits, can you tell the difference between different mark whatevers?
Not really.
No.
I I mean, in the comics, up to a point, yes, I could, but they got to where they would change it multiple times a year, and it was like, you know, like it just got so crazy that you couldn't keep up with his suit one from another, just depending on the artist. Like it would just always constantly change. But he definitely has a few periods of having like just a signature look.
Okay. Still pretty amazing that Clark Gregg is married to Jennifer Grey.
I always forget that. Yeah.
This is where it kind of like really hits home to them.
Uh-huh.
Definitely see all of them. Well, just the ones that are on the helicarrier still. Yeah, Steve.
Yes, Steve. All just a big joke to you. She wasn't really. He was always very polite to Coulson. The Avengers Initiative. I guess a lot of people forget that that idea was dead coming into this movie.
Yeah.
After Iron Man 2, they scrapped it because Tony sucked and couldn't play well with others.
Yeah. And this great line, you hear that at the beginning of one of your shows that you do with Jenny, Justin and Scott on the Journey Through Infinity, only on the Journey Position podcast feed.
Thank you for that plug. Yes,
I will. I'll throw a plug out when I can. You guys are Black Panther, right? Is that what you're up to?
That's what we're up to. We have not recorded yet. Scheduling problems, especially here year end. You know how it is.
I do know how it is.
I told Jenny the other day, I think I've done more podcasts this month, or at least between the end of November and sort of mid-December, in that 30-day period, is more podcasts than I've ever done in my entire life. Just, I don't know what I was thinking, scheduling myself that way. But it's fun, you know? That's why we do these things.
Yeah. I get a nice fun camera. Legendary actor right here.
Uh-huh. One of those random cameos of all time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Buck-ass nude. A regular sized fella. You got to convince.
Again, I just remember the theater roared at that line. So I guess coming down off of the Mind Stone corruption is a really bad hangover. And I know people take issue with the fact that for really two-thirds of this movie, the Hawkeye character is possessed, yeah, a bad guy. It's, mm-hmm, he's not himself. But I really do think they more than make up for it in this third act.
They do.
I think he really does get his due, mm-hmm, even though I guess big-time fans of the character like to bitch that he was given short shrift. I just think that's nonsense.
Yeah. No, he's definition of team. You know, he's a vital member of how they get the battle in New York, you know, done.
Yeah. I don't know. In a lot of ways, that's why that second film, talking about Age of Ultron, mm-hmm, feels a little bit like a make good for him, yeah, where he's, if anything, a bit overexposed. And I just didn't think any of that was necessary. He was, you know,
they kind of set you up to think he's getting killed off too.
They do. Yeah. I didn't think any of that was necessary at all. Compromised. Hey, there it is again. The red. It's like, okay, can we knock it off with the red and the lecture stuff? Know. We get it.
We hear that a lot.
It's like, I get that you're in love with that phrase, but chill.
Yeah, we got to beat them down to bring them back up. Mm-hmm. The cellist.
Right, yes. Pepper knew all about the cellist. I feel like I need a pep talk from Cap to get me through the rest of this year.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, only got 9 days to go, Tim. I think you can make it.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm almost done wrapping presents, so.
Good. I haven't even started, but that, I don't have that. I don't have that like many to wrap because I bought a lot of gift cards.
Okay, yeah. That was smart. I mean, I didn't buy a lot either.
But takes a guy with... It takes a guy with an ego to figure out what a guy with an ego is going to do next. It's like, shit.
Yes. Yes. Very good stuff.
This big gaudy monument to myself.
A big gaudy monument?
Like, what? He's cool.
Cap looks so much better in that costume without the headpiece.
Yeah. Now we get, you know, they're regrouping, basically getting their shit together.
And our third act is off and running, mm-hmm, just like that. I mean, you can basically mark it down.
Yeah.
It announces itself practically.
Yeah. Son?
There's not a damn thing wrong with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you told
I don't know that this scene was really needed.
Yeah.
It was just...
And they got the push.
Uh-huh.
Yep, Tony figured it out. Good point.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely speaks to his character. I don't know. I there's a part of me that just wants to let that live and breathe as a genuine moment.
Yeah.
But he's always got an ace up his sleeve. I get it.
Always thinking.
Or a trading card, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Oof. Ooh, Dr. Selvig got a little knocked. I figured it out. Thanks, Jarvis.
Yeah.
Another great scene here.
You miss Paul Bettany, right? Like,
yeah.
Give me White Vision, man.
I think he'll be back before long.
Bring him back.
All right, so that's the Mark VI, I guess, that he's in, and because he just said the Mark VII's not quite ready.
Mm.
Again, probably one of the best scenes in the whole movie right here.
We'll miss him as Jarvis specific. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Simpler times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love this bar setup.
Yeah. What a view. Oof.
Yeah.
That's... Yada, yada, yada.
Breathtaking anger management. <Yeah. laughs>
Basically, telling Loki is we're playing with house money here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he probably was more human as Jarvis. I do like Friday, though, I gotta admit.
Yeah, Paul Bettany as voicing Jarvis. Yeah, it just had a personality. And it just goes to show how Vision wasn't just Jarvis with a body. He was truly his own character and a different character, you know, just with the same voice. But, I would agree that Jarvis showed a lot of humanity for an AI.
Yeah. I mark out for the scene every time. I'm a sucker, and this probably our good friend who I dearly miss doing shows with, Glenn Butler. He's a big theme song guy, and I love that part in a movie where something happens and then the theme starts to play
and the theme song kicks in.
Yeah, right here. It just goes so perfectly. Such a big...
Yep. Kind of a comics homage there too. Yeah. That scene with Stark falling and having to get the armor on before he hits the ground. There was a famous cliffhanger in the 80s. I think it was in the 80s. In Iron Man solo series, I believe he got tossed out of the helicarrier without his armor.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah.
Army. I mean, this is probably one of the early, you know, lights in the sky kind of things. Because it gets overdone later on in other movies.
It does, yeah. A giant hole in the sky with beams shooting out of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief.
What a great third act this is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We got Rassai Grand Central right here. There have been many times. Now, the waitress here in this cafe, that's the actress Ashley Johnson, better known as, she was Christy, I think the character name was. She was a little girl on Growing Pains.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. All grown up.
Huh.
You have Travel Girl back me up on that fact.
She, they draw some attention to her in this third act in ways that make you think she's somebody, but I think the reason for that is there was an earlier deleted scene with her and Steve where he was kind of reacclimating to civilian life and
get to like a little romantic interest.
Perhaps, hinted at. And that's I think where the connection gets lost.
Just like, what the hell's going on? I've seen some stuff, but what the?
Yeah. He stopped the truck.
Tim, have you been to New York? New York City?
Yeah, but I've actually never seen it in the daytime. I was there for a bachelor party. Okay. We didn't stay in the city we were in. We were actually staying in Long Island. There for a friend of a friend's wedding. And, the wedding and everything was in Long Island, our hotel. But we did travel into the city one night. And this was in 2005.
Wow.
And just kind of walked around. Didn't take in a lot of it, admittedly, but I can say I've seen it. And
all right, well, I'll have to get you back up here one day.
Yeah.
Oof. Any landing you can walk away from is a good one.
Right.
Yeah, she was part of the Jump the Shark moment on Growing Pains.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm reading this now, so The jump the shark baby of Growing Pains supposed to help bring back the audience, but Leo probably did a better job. Yeah.
Wow, they're all like taking the Chitauri in for the first time. Just like they just keep coming from this giant hole in the sky. Now the Leviathan comes through.
You know, I also like that we got the. Well, it just crashed, but we got the Avengers Quinjet in this movie and all but name. They don't call it that, but that's exactly what it looks like in the comics.
Just imagine seeing this giant ass thing flying by. Not to mention you have these aliens that are like kind of like normal size, but this big ass thing.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay, that's a bad day at work.
Yeah.
Bad day at the office.
Seeing, still believing. Kill the accountants, yes. Oof. They always destroy New York. Although I was quite happy in one of the Transformers movies, they destroyed Chicago.
Oh, that's, changing it up a little.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because I'm a native New Yorker. I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're there to take over the Chitauri. They all know who's who and what's what.
Well, and yeah, and according to...
they were lawyers.
They were lawyers, yes. Shoot them, too. According to Guardians of the Galaxy, according to, who was it, Rocket, at least it says that they're like the jobbers of the galaxy, the Chitauri. So they're just,
they're like they kind of
suck at what they do. Yeah.
They seem to have stormtrooper aim too.
was not known at the time.
Yeah, Hawkeye's looking for a little payback. I tell you, his trick arrows, though, are so cool.
They are.
I love that they become a big part of the Hawkeye series.
Yeah. Cap doing some parkour here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our friend Steve Willie would be proud. I think he does some parkour in his spare time.
Yes. Definitely.
Budapest. That becomes a running joke, too. That's something my daughter always say. I need to know what happened in Budapest.
And eventually we do, sort of.
I love the 180 the cop takes here.
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, let's see. I'm going to show you. And take on these two, aliens here.
Right.
And beat them.
Awesome.
That's actually not that far, though, because they're on, yeah. I want to say they're on 42nd and 6th. Or so. Mm. Oof.
Ooh.
Nice spear by the Chitauri right there.
Yeah.
Oof. Nice little. Oh, the band's getting back together.
There we go.
Finally shows up.
A little worse for wear.
Yeah. They took one in the side by Loki.
Yeah.
Hawkeye, like, telling Thor, get in line. I love that. Huh? Hey, movie geek.
It's a little dirt bike.
This all seems horrible.
Yes, welcome, movie geek. Mm-hmm. Just in time for our climax.
Yeah. I don't see where that's a party.
So I think Kate Bishop's dad just died
here. Yeah.
In that little scene.
They might have. Maybe. Or maybe not yet. I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Another great
transformation.
Oof. Great scene in the theater with the audience.
Yes. Definitely pop for this.
Yeah, the way this thing.
Yes. Stark just sits in the right
this
spot.
Thing just doubles over on itself. Oh. Yep.
And Chari ain't happy about that. And we got probably one of the most iconic shots of all of the MCU.
To this day.
Oh, I love this. Oh, so good. Mm. Oh, shit. Here comes a couple more Leviathans and a crap ton more of the Chitauri. Clinch up, Legolas.
Clinch up.
Mm-hmm. Smash. I love that. He's like, yeah, you speak my language now.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just going to go mess some Chitauri up. I'm sitting there, though. I'm watching this, right? And they did give away Hulk catching Iron Man in the trailer, which really pissed me off because I'm waiting for it the whole time.
Did they?
You knew it was coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm, they did. He's lighting it up.
Mm. Is this the Chrysler building?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay, yep. Giant lightning rod, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Empire State Building's a little further down.
Yeah.
The Chrysler building's like real midtown. Empire State is a little more downtown.
That's where I was, a little more downtown, because we walked around the Empire State Building. Don't remember seeing the Chrysler building.
See? Calling out. So Kate Bishop is right across from where he is.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I remember they zeroed in on him on this rooftop.
Yeah, because she watches him when he jumps off. And
she watches him eat shit, yeah. Which is coming up here in a second.
Oof.
So I guess so far they've taken out two of those big Leviathans. Yeah. Hulk got the first one. Thor just lit up a second.
It's like they basically like what would happen if the Mosasaurus from Jurassic World could fly.
Could fly. What a nightmare.
Oh, God. Maddie can hold her own.
Mm-hmm.
So can I stop for a second here? Yeah.
This is like the old X-Men fastball special here.
Yeah.
Colossus just throwing Wolverine at something.
Ah, okay. So Natty with no fear here.
Yeah.
She basically stabs the Chitauri and then rides him like a horse. Third. I love the camera work here too, because we get the part where, you know, one character comes in, we follow, we stick with the, you know, the next one. You know what I mean? Like we had Nat, then we had Tony. Tony's going to pass by, you know, Clint. So we circle on Clint.
Yep. This big just panorama.
Now we're going to bring Thor and Hulk into the shot.
It's because of this scene, honestly, that makes me retroactively like all of the X-Men movies even less.
Yeah.
Because you never saw them fight as a team like this in a big extended action scene in any of those. I mean, they kind of tried in that third one, but.
Yeah, third one's dog.
That has such, such an array of problems.
We get a little callback here to their fight on the helicarrier there. With Hulk taking a cheap shot.
Yeah, Hulk doesn't forget.
We got Professor Selvig's, you know, woken up a little bit.
Yeah.
A little worse for wear.
Poor bastard.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's almost like Cap could do this all day.
Yeah, seems like it. Oh, takes out that Chitauri.
Like carved its face off too.
Oof.
Okay, yep, there's the waitress again.
Oh, it's got Chitauri shooting each other. It's like, oh shit. Oof.
Ugh. Hurts to look at.
Oof. That's gotta leave a mark. Stupid ass decision, he says. The late great Powers Booth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fury trying to hold off the bosses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, keep in mind,
yeah,
those bosses are really Hydra. Spoiler. Look, of course they want to launch a nuke at Manhattan.
Oh. Really?
But he still gets over. Yeah.
And that makes it up there. Ooh.
So does Hulk.
Oof, it just ragdolls him.
That was so satisfying.
It was. He just lets out that little.
You dull creature.
I would be crapping myself right now because I actually have a fear of heights.
I was going to say, what is he thinking of jumping? Like.
I think that's Kate Bishop. That is,
yeah. Way too close to the edge.
Oh. Aha, that's what he's doing. Oof.
Oh, wow.
Just takes out a building right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oof.
Okay, maybe that's where Kate's dad ate it.
No, I think Kate would have ate it then. That whole building went down. Not just like a corner.
Yeah.
These things are just messing up the city. It's like,
yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Mm.
Ugh, just take it out from the inside. Oof.
Good God.
Oh, that kind of hurt. Oof. The Chitauri is just relentless here. Uh-oh. I'm out of arrows.
Out of arrows.
And there's a whole shit ton of them coming in.
Yep.
Thank God he's got that one. He still has his grappling hook. Iconic shot here.
Yes. Here's where Kate is fangirl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do love the callback that we get to that in the first episode.
Yeah. Well,
you can tell the Avengers are giving it their all, but they're getting beat up here.
Yeah.
You know, even Hulk gets a little messed up here. Oh, they're overriding him. Mm. Uh-oh. Mm.
Fury runs out there with the
missile. Bazooka, like one does. And he takes out the decoy. Mm-hmm. And he thinks he got it, but nope. Oh, shit. That ain't going to help there, Nick.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, again, seeing a bit of that personality from Jarvis.
Yeah.
Kind of some autonomy, too. He's
yeah,
not just taking orders, making some decisions here.
Basically being like his conscience.
Yeah.
Or the voice of reason.
Yeah.
They're still trying their damnedest. Ugh.
Love seeing Cap and Thor fighting back to back here.
Yeah. It's really ingenious to
straight
think
up their
the
ass.
Fly. Yeah, I saw Independence Day. Pepper, pick up your phone. Just like everybody would probably be glued to the TV right now.
Yeah. And it's Stark making the sacrifice play that he was told he could not make.
Yes. Fury's like, damn.
Yeah. Start probably a one-way trip.
Yeah. Hits the mothership. Basically. Takes out, I guess, the Chitauri are hive-minded? Or hive-controlled?
Seems that way.
Would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Ooh. Yep.
See, and this is where I'm in the theater the first time. Like, shit, this is where it's going to happen. They're not going to kill off Iron Man in the first movie.
Yeah.
But like, I knew that the Hulk is going to save him.
Right.
Really, really good CG here too. Just the way they close in, it doesn't look like it's forced. Like it's closing, and he just makes
it's
it through.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Like, shit, guy's got 9 lives. Thor's like, I'm
Thor's ready
in action.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they spoiled that in the previews, huh?
Yeah, they did in the trailer. I saw that coming. They didn't spoil the fall. They just decided he catches them. That's where they cut it off.
Okay.
Welcome, Stamper Cinema. Thank you for joining us for the closing moments of this movie?
Yes.
My guy's just sleeping. That'd wake me up.
I remember thinking Thor was going to, like, defibrillate him with his lightning or something, you know? Like, it'd be a more fantastic solution here to this problem.
A little unfinished business there. An inchwarma, I promise. I like shawarma. Although I do prefer gyro better when I go to those places.
Taps hair is amazing. Yes, thank you for that observation, Stamper Cinema. I could not agree more. Mm-hmm. The ass and the hair are just on point.
Really? Tony's hair is all...
Yeah, I remember trying to get my hair to do that. after this movie, it just doesn't.
Yeah, much as you try. Nice shot of Central Park there.
Yeah.
We get the Stan Lee cameo here coming up. Mm-hmm. We also have an actor that you're real familiar with on one of your shows right now, James Eckhouse, right?
He plays
a senator or something, right?
Yep.
And he's the dad on Beverly Hills 90210, and you and our friend JT, there's Stanley, our friend JT there's Rosero on the North South Connection podcast.
There's feed. Jim Walsh, yes.
Jim Walsh right there are going through Beverly Hills 90210 with 90210. Right.
Thank you. Yes. That, right. North South Connection. Mm-hmm. 90210. It's me and JT and a rotating guest for each episode of that podcast. Mm-hmm. We, you know, if anyone would want to join us potentially for an episode of 90210, just reach out. Mm-hmm. Reach out to me on Twitter. I am at Psyche68 on Twitter, by the way. Yeah. Cyke68. Just like my username on Twitter. So, we put out that call to anyone who, whether they've done a podcast before or not, whether they love the show, Beverly Hills 90210, or hate it, we'll take anyone. It's a lot of episodes we've got to cover.
Yeah. So I get the Avengers. All right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be sending Loki back to Asgard now.
Yeah. To stand trial for his crimes, along with the Tesseract. Get that shit out of here. Nice car. Sure. Steve with that nice bike there.
I love his jacket too.
Yeah. One of my favorite movie themes too. I still at the time.
It's better than it gets credit for.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is it Michael Giacchino or is it, let me look it up. I got the handy dandy 90210 right here. I mean, not 90210, IMDb. God, it's getting late. Soundtracks. I guess it doesn't say who did it. His hair looks amazing while on a motorcycle. Yes, it does.
Yeah, no blowing in the breeze, huh?
Tony and that green juice, Jesus.
Yes.
And they're remaking Stark Tower into Avengers Tower.
Yeah, man.
Hashtag like good hair. Oh, God. So much fun. Of course, there's a scene coming up. Zach Penn and Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say what you will about Joss Whedon. I get it. Not everybody's favorite person these days, but thought he hit it out of the park with this movie. Like I said, there are those little Whedonisms in the script, just in the dialogue that do grate on the nerves a little bit, but I mostly find it charming more than annoying.
I'm good with Joss. I'm good with the art, I think.
I mean,
you know, yeah, I love Buffy. Like, is still one of my favorite shows.
It's one of those separation of art and artist.
Art and artist. Yeah. We got the roll call here with the imagery behind them.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, let's face it, he's no Roman Polanski.
no.
You know, there's degrees to these things. Not to get into a whole moral relativism or whatever, but like, it seems like he's a bit of an asshole. So,
yeah.
A lot of creative types are like that.
We've heard, there's very few that you don't hear something about.
Mm-hmm. Not that we should expect tolerate it, but the torture genius, right?
Yeah. All right, so we get our first mid-credit scene here. So, Tim, did you know anything? Did this leak out at all? What was happening here?
No. I saw this opening night. Yeah. So, yeah. This was first time anybody had seen it. It's first time I saw it.
Yeah, I forgot who I thought it was, but whatever my guess was wrong, because I don't know, you know, characters. Up to this point, I didn't know who any of these people were.
Yeah.
Death themselves.
Yeah. Says that, and then this, I was freaking out.
And you knew it was Thanos?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which apparently about Hitchcock.
There was
no, he wasn't obsessed with some of his leading ladies, not at all.
Oh God, So apparently,
this nice Soundgarden song here, "Live to Rise."
It's gonna start. That's very cool. Joss Whedon just threw that in, the Thanos thing.
Like I forgot who I thought that was, but then I think somebody explained to me who Thanos was, that they're like the big, is Alexis Denisov. Who is the other in this movie?
The guy who was talking to Thanos, his lieutenant. James Eckhouse there, credited at the very end. Well, if our connection breaks down, at least we made it to the end.
No, it was where my headphone jack was, so I was having trouble hearing.
Oh, okay.
So the other was one of the people on the planet, right?
He was the lieutenant that Thanos was conversing with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
I don't know why they call him that, but yeah.
Because that's what's his face from Wesley from Buffy and Angel.
Oh,
Mr. Allison.
I never really got into Buffy. Mm-hmm. Probably too late at this point, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, I have flirted with a rewatch for a while, but I haven't pulled the string yet. I mean, I used to make fun of one of my fraternity brothers for watching it in college.
And then you got into it.
It was on Tuesday nights, and Tuesday night was like the night out at Iona. It's when all the Greeks would have their meetings and stuff, and everybody would hit the bars after. And I'm like, it was one of the guy, one of my fraternity brothers, his brother was in the frat too. And I was like, where's your brother? He goes, it's Tuesday. It's Buffy. He's not coming out. So I was like, so then finally
priorities, man.
I had to, we had a while ago when Biography Channel was around still, we would do TVographies, which was like basically a bio of a TV series. And we did a Buffy episode and I had to cut it down because we were doing some promotional thing with Interview with a Vampire. Mm. And I had to watch it several times, this show about Buffy. So I was like, let me give it a shot. So I picked up the first season, loved it. Then I got into it. Season three of Buffy, one of my favorite seasons of television ever. Great villain. A lot of shit happens. And then the next season when Angel starts, the spinoff. And if you watch Angel, get through the first six episodes, you're good. Because the first six episodes are, But it really picks up from there.
I think I kind of file it next to Harry Potter just as a thing that if I was going to get into, I would have gotten into by now. Mm-hmm. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Some comics creators with special thanks here. Yeah. Bendis, Buscema, Romita, Stan Lee, of course, Kirby, Donna Heck. Among others.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. So, and this only, I feel like only came out recently, the Thanos cameo, it seems like it would be a studio note, right? That Marvel, Kevin Feige, they would want to have that as their kind of cliffhanger.
Yeah.
In that mid-credit scene, but it was totally just something Whedon threw in, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if...
Wow.
And from that flowed the entire Infinity Saga.
Yeah, the big bad.
Which is built around it.
Which we're yet to learn who the real big bad of the next several phase or two is going to be.
Right. Probably Kang, we think.
Could be.
But
I'm sure we'll get Galactus at some point.
Hey, yeah, took us a while to get Thanos proper.
Yeah. Well, while we're watching the credits, I could tell you who will be here next time. I'm giving Tim a movie off because... Somebody that you're very familiar with, Tim, and people on Stream Lounge are, Jennifer Smith will be joining me for the next movie, because you know why. It's Iron Man 3.
Because the next movie is Iron Man 3, yes.
and Jenny, when I asked her, I said, pick a movie. She said, Iron Man 3, my beloved Tony.
I was going to say, I would do that third Iron Man a disservice. So, yeah. Jenny, a much better... Mm-hmm. Much better choice for your co-host.
I think we have it actually booked. I'm going to look ahead a little bit on my calendar. Yeah, so January 12th, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back for Iron Man 3. And then it's going to be your guess is as good as mine who's going to do the next one. Because, Tim, what do you like to affectionately call the next movie, which is the sequel to Thor?
I was gonna say, what's next, Thor or that
Thor the doo-doo shit world?
Yeah, Thor the doo-doo shit planet. Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see who will join me for that.
It's really not that bad. It's just very throwaway. It's funny though how many callbacks there are to that movie. Like, kind of starting from Infinity War, it seems like the MCU. Or Disney is telling us, look, sorry, I know y'all don't like this movie, but we're going to keep reminding you that this movie exists.
All right. And we get this really great tacked on scene here at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they're eating their shawarma. So this was shot, I believe, the night of the premiere.
I was going to say, yeah.
And the reason why Chris Evans is sitting there with his hand like this is because he actually had a mustache.
Uh-huh.
For a movie.
He had facial hair.
Yeah, they couldn't shave. So I love how they're just all sitting there just eating the shawarma.
Yep. Undecided on it.
Yeah. The guy is just in the background, just a lady.
Cap looks a little too miserable to eat. Thor is chowing down. Tony's trying to make his mind up.
Yeah, Tony's a little unimpressed with the shawarma. Can you imagine Tony... Stark went that whole amount of his life not knowing what shawarma is?
I know, right?
I don't know. All right, cool. So as we see the who did the translations here. I want to say thank you once again to Tim for joining me. You make these watches that much more fun.
Thanks for having me.
With your banter, you know how much I enjoy doing pods with you. So thank you for being my main go-to here for these watches. So check Tim out on lots of shows on the Place We Nation Wrestling Network. He has PTB NXT, Talking WCW. On North-South Connection, he's got 902 Noso. And on the Jenny position, he's part of Talkin' Pop, which actually just had a new episode drop very recently. So check that out, as well as the Journey Through Infinity. And also on the PlayStation Pop Experience, he is one of my co-hosts on Pop Goes to the Couch that drops pretty much every week while there is a new geek property, I guess. Yeah. We're just wrapping up Hawkeye, and we'll be starting Book of Boba Fett. We also are going to figure out how we're going to do Cobra Kai and whatever else streaming shows come
out. It's a lot.
Yeah, we got 2022 is going to be a little busy for us on that show. And we
had Pop Goes to the Couch to talk the TV shows. We even got out a Pop Goes to the Movies recently, right?
Yeah, so
that's a rarity these days.
No Way Home. And yes, and this is one of those rare weeks on the Pop feed where I drop multiple pods on days. So actually Monday and Tuesday this week both had two pods drop. So, because I didn't want to wait on getting those Hawkeye season episode 5 and Spider-Man out. And we'll be, next week, we'll have the Hawkeye season finale. What's your podcast called? So, what you do is you look up the Place to Be Nation Pop Experience. And it's actually a feed that is a collection of different shows. We basically have a show drop on weekday, every weekday. We have, I could go through some of our shows. Like, I have a show usually that drops every Thursday. That's either Laughing Theater. Any of these live watches you see here on Streamlabs will drop as pods down the line. Pop Goes to the Couch will drop. We have a show called It Was a Thing on TV that drops on Wednesdays. We have an NBA show. We have Making Mount Rushmore that drops once a month. Year in Pop, which is a look back at the particular year. We're up to 1991. So we go through everything, the pop culture, the sports, TV, the movies, the music, everything. So lots of fun over there. And I have a new podcast that's coming in January. It's called Cartoons of Our Youth. So every episode, it'll be myself and a guest, and we will talk about their favorite cartoon growing up, and we will live watch an episode of that cartoon. Tim, I know you've already penciled in Gargoyles.
Oh, I was going to say, does this mean I get to talk about Gargoyles with you?
Yes, you do get to talk Gargoyles with me. I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Gargoyles. So
I was going to say, that was probably a little bit after your time. After honestly, it was close to being after. I was sort of aged out of cartoons when that show was so damn good that I just had to watch it. So, look for just on your preferred podcatcher app, as we say, look for Place to Be Nation Pop, and you'll find a great, great variety of shows. Of course, if you're a wrestling fan, we have Place to Be Nation Wrestling as well. So these are two sister podcast feeds, each with a collection of shows. So it's kind of podcasts within a podcast. But we primarily are shilling for Place to Be Nation.
Don't like the word feed as much. Pop. Yeah.
No, we do not like the word.
That's what we're representing to me. Yeah. But, yes, and also, Tim, like we mentioned, Tim shows Talkin' Pop and The Journey Through Infinity. They're under the Jenny Position podcast feed.
Yes.
So look up that and North South Connection. So that's I think we've done enough shilling for tonight.
Well, again, the quad of pods, as
we call it. Quad of pods. And if PlaceMission.com gets back up and running anytime soon, you can also go there and you'll see all the
pods. Yes, the website. the website has been down.
It's been down for a few days, and I actually have the previous owner-operator looking into it for me because I am not tech-savvy at all, so hopefully we'll get it back up very soon. I apologize, Dave. I just got to the site and not been able to get on because we have a big thing for the site coming up in the new year. After the first of every year, we unveil a big year-long project that the Wrestling Network sponsor. So we're hopefully getting that sucker back up soon.
Yeah, you'll need it for that, for certain.
Or else I'm going to have a lot of wrestling nerds angry at me, so I need to...
yes, you will.
I need to get that underway. Anyway, so thank you, everybody at Stream Lounge. Thank you, everybody, for checking out us here tonight on the Avengers. I will see you back in about two, three weeks time to watch Iron Man 3 and look for Laughing Theater coming up here, and maybe I'll do some more solo stuff. Who knows? But once again, Tim, thank you very much. Appreciate you taking
Thank you, Andy.
And thank you all once again. See you guys. Yep.
I'll talk to you in the chats.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody.